You're listening to Radio Aryan at RadioAryan.com.
Hello and welcome to Truth Will Out Radio. Today's date is Friday, the 5th of October, 2018. You're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, broadcasting at RadioAryan.com, and we are broadcasting live tonight because we have got the producer of Adolf Hitler, the greatest story never told, Communism by the Back Door, and the Freemasonic victors of World War II with us tonight, Mr. Dennis Wise. Dennis, how you doing?
Well, I'm doing fine, but I don't get introduced with this excellency like you did with Bishop Williamson.
Oh, well, he's got a title, you see. He's got a title.
Yeah, I know, I'm gutted.
you're
his
the
Dennis Wise.
Yeah, well, you're the producer of Adolf Hitler, the greatest story never told.
Well, that's, yeah,
good enough title, I think. And I must apologise to listeners. It was actually a problem at my end. That's why we were a little bit late tonight. My internet just suddenly cut out altogether, just as we were about to start. But we are here now. Hopefully, it won't happen again. Yeah, we haven't been here for 2 weeks, have we, Dennis?
No, we're going to have to stop meeting like this.
Have you had a good week? Did you have a good week off? Have you been busy? What have you been up to?
Well, I've felt gender fluid all week, believe it or not. I'm sat here in a dress, my wife shaking her head. I never usually get any reaction out of her. So, yeah, it's very good, yeah. I'm only joking.
Good man. Right, well, let's get into what we've got for tonight, because I was asking you whether you've been busy over the last couple of weeks, because, I mean, you've sent me an outline for, it looks like it's going to be the last episode of the Freemasonic Victors. Is that what that you've got planned, or is it the last couple of episodes, something like that?
Last week we spoke about, the week before, Fatima. Believe it or not, that should be ready this week now. It's been a bit slow, that one, because it was so itsy bitsy, trying to find bits of film and everything. But that should be ready. That will be the bonus part, as we said. And there's possibly one, maybe two episodes. Just depends what I can get in. But yeah, then we'll call that a day. I think it goes on long enough anyway, you know.
Well, I think it's a great outline. We're going to get into some of it tonight. I think it'll probably go on for two episodes. But yeah, you brought up...
I depress everybody.
Well, I think it's good to get into this stuff, but you brought up Bishop Williamson then, and I was able to interview him, and that was on while we were away. It seems to have gone down well with listeners. Did you manage to have a listen to that? I was wondering what your thoughts were.
Yeah, that's when I heard the excellency. Interesting. There's some points, obviously, I didn't agree with him on, but overall, I think he's a wonderful guy. I think he's if anybody should, it should have been Pope. Bishop Williamson should have been the man to lead the Catholic Church, but maybe in other times he would have done. But as we are today, I think he's banned from the Vatican, isn't he? And we've got a clown in there anyway. So
it is the opposite way round, isn't it? I mean, he is the man that should be leading the church, he's outside of it. I mean, I think my favourite part of it really was the question I asked him at the end, and I thought he came out with an excellent answer for it. And I asked him, how far back we had to go with the church before they were all like him, before all the priests were like him.
Yeah.
And I wasn't expecting his answer, but it was, it was a pretty clever one. He's saying, there's been, good men and bad men at all times, and good men and bad men in the church. So there never was a time when everybody was like him, because we live in a fallen world. I thought that was a great answer.
Well, they're only human after all, aren't they? I know they're supposed to have a higher morality than everybody else, but, they're only human.
I do recommend people check that out if they haven't yet. Well, let's get into what we've got here. What you've given me, I believe, is an outline for it. It's like a script, and this is going to be, the text portion of the upcoming chapters, and it covers so much that I think it would be good to sort of break it down and get into the separate subjects. So if I read out the first bit and then we look at some of the subjects in it, the first bit says, a wake-up call for the ordinary citizen who believes in democracy and their government. An ancient mystery religion was handed down father to son, mother to daughter, for centuries through symbology. The average person does not see or understand the esoteric meanings. In the 1990s, around a third of the gravestones in the United States had an obelisk and or an eternal flame in stone. Not for fancy, like one would imagine, but as a sign for a millennia of working with one goal of a new world order under a benevolent dictatorship. And I think, you know, the important thing about this is this symbolism. And you talked a lot about symbolism in the recent series, haven't you, from the all-seeing eye and everything else. So what sort of got you onto this bit, that so many of the gravestones had this symbol on them?
Well, I watched a documentary a while back. It's a good documentary, and I can't remember the title for the moment, which I think Anthony Hilder did. I know some people might think he's a bit of an Alex Jones, but he does do some really good work. And out in the rural parts of America, it's just, you won't believe. I mean, you know, they're all week they're in the lodge, and on the Sunday they're in church, and they're leaving these things for the future on the ground, you know, for man to see what was going on so many years back. And it's, I was surprised that it was so entrenched, you know.
Well, I think the symbolism goes back to when people couldn't really read. And, you know, if you look at art history, you look at paintings, like the religious paintings, they would have certain symbols in them so that they could get like a biblical story across to people. Like if you look at pictures of Mary Magdalene, they'll often have a skull there, and a skull symbolizes death. You know, candle symbolizes something. Well, that's
like, you know, a complete stranger, you'll know straight away with that handshake.
You know, well, the handshake's a sign, isn't it? But I just mean these symbols that they put on things. And it's like even the Star of David, that's a symbol for things. It's a symbol for as above, so below. It's a hermetic thing, isn't it? Because you've got the triangle pointing up and down.
It's not the Star of David. I think it's the God Begins We Are, I think. But it's sort of Moloch as well.
Star of Remphan. I think that's the one. I think that's the one that you're thinking of there. Yeah. So there's a lot of these. I mean, you mentioned there that they're going to the churches on a Sunday, and they're also going to the lodges. There are a lot of churches that contain this symbolism as well. Now, I don't know whether that's due to Freemasons infiltrating the churches. I mean, one thing I've seen in quite a few churches is that all-seeing eye. So it can mean two things, maybe. Maybe they could think, well, this all-seeing eye, it means the omnipotent God that sees everything. But it also means, you know, the eye of the state that's watching everything you do, especially, and that's come to fruition now with CCTV,
hasn't it? Well, you have to remember, probably Masons built the churches, so they're always going to slip one or two things in, aren't they?
Yeah, well, if you go back to the original Masons guilds, the stonemasons, genuine masonry, before it became speculative Freemasonry, I guess you've got the links there as well. I mean, there's that symbol of the Freemasons use with the square and compasses. I mean, that goes back to before Freemasonry. You'll see architects from, you know, at the beginning of the Middle Ages that are holding the square and compasses to show that they are learned men. And I guess the Freemasons latched onto it and then started using it. And people wouldn't think anything of it because they'd be used to seeing it used by architects anyway and by master builders.
Be oblivious that there's a secret society bubbling underneath. It wouldn't click.
Well, these obelisks as well. I mean, what do you make of the obelisk as a symbol? What do you think that means?
Well, I think it's obviously some kind of. Comes from Egypt originally, I suppose, although there's others all around the world. Yeah, no, I just think that they're part of this, you know, these ley lines and these kind of like towers for esoteric travelling waves, if you like. I think they use them for that kind of sense.
I think with the ley lines, you know, like you have lines of power on your body.
Yeah, yeah.
And the acupuncturists, they put little pins on those lines of power in your body, and that directs the energy And I think maybe where these ley lines cross, these natural energy lines on the earth, where they crossed, then they would put things like churches or spires. So you think the where they've chosen to put those obelisks fits in with that? Because, I mean, haven't they got the one?
So.
Is it one at the Vatican, one in the City of London?
Yeah. And yeah, one at the Vatican. Like I say, Washington and City of London.
That's the Washington.
Iconic places.
And they're all taken from Egypt. And Egypt was, you know, that was the centre of magic and the secret societies, wasn't it?
That's right.
Originally. So it's saying that we've come out from Egypt and back then we had an empire, we had the Egyptian empire, and now we've got the New World Order, we've got the capitalist empire, I guess, the Jewish world empire, and that's a symbol of its continuation going back to Egyptian times. And it's the secret yeah. societies that is the link, I guess, between them all, between both of them, today and
well,
back then.
Certainly played a big part. We had the secret societies. I'm pretty sure they could have done what they did, because in these secret societies, which were all spread around the world, they got traces in them. I mean, obviously, some Freemasons won't know, but there will be Freemasons, obviously, will know. And, I mean, in America, police, army, it runs quite deep out there. I didn't realise quite how deep it was. I heard a New York or an ex-New York cop who had been in Freemasonry and come out of it once he realised what it was, and he was scared and openly scared about what it was and the rituals, etc. You know.
Well, I know in the police, I think all the top police members of Freemasonry, all the MPs are, is particularly in that sort of area in the police that they have a very high proportion of Freemasons. And if you look at America, I mean, they've got lots of different secret societies. I think they've even got Homer Simpson is a member of a secret society in one of the episodes. I mean, is that common?
That doesn't surprise me.
You know, they sort of wear hats, and it's seen as like a fraternity. I mean, even that Skull and Bones, isn't it? That's seen as just
that's definitely one. Yeah, I mean, people don't think that is famous, but it's a part of the secret society. You know, and the top end of the secret societies all have the same goal, so it doesn't make any difference if it's Skull and Bones or Freemasonry. They've still got that goal in mind.
Or the Lions Club. That's another one. Or the, is it the Bridge Club or something like that? The Rotary Club. I mean, all these outskirts, they look like they're not really secret societies, but they're actually linked up with the secret societies. So they end up pushing for the same agenda without really knowing it. They're all interconnected with, you know, the guys in the Freemasons and the Skull and Bones, the Illuminati, and they're the ones sort of directing it right at the top. But the ones on the outskirts don't really understand. Well, they have no idea. They think they're just doing charitable work. They're just providing for widows, orphans, the homeless, and they think that Freemasonry's just got this bad rap in the media by conspiracy theorists.
Well, what's amazing to me is they've been at it, like you say, for a millennia, and there's still people walking around who haven't got a clue. They don't even know about the New World Order, you know.
Well, the symbolism, you know, a lot of the time these symbols, symbolism will have an innocent meaning, and it will have a more darker occult meaning as well. So as I was saying about that, all-seeing eye, that's one of them. An upside-down cross, again, an upside-down cross, that could be symbolism of, I think it was St. Peter that was supposedly crucified upside down.
Give peace a chance, that one you mean.
Well, then you've also got the meaning of it as in that's a satanic symbol because it's an inverted cross. So it's got two obviously, meanings to it, depending on who it is that's using it. The peace sign, that's a room for death, isn't it? The room with the arms outstretched, like the peace sign turned upside down. That's a room for life. Man with his arms outstretched. And when you turn it the other way around, it's man is dead. With the arms pointing down, and that's the CND sign. So it's
also the V, what Churchill used to give. People used to think it were victory, didn't they? But it weren't, it were for someone else.
Difference. And the devil's horn sign as well, that's...
Bosch is always doing that one, isn't he?
Yeah, that can be used quite innocently by people that are into their heavy metal, but it also means something else when it was used by the Freemasons. So this symbolism,
like a dual edge in it,
And if these people that are into this, into the esotericism and the occult, they can read the symbolism and they can understand the deeper message that's going on, or whether it's people that are part of this network. If they're involved in this conspiracy, then they can see other people that are using these symbols, or they see the symbols and they think, well, that's somebody who's on my side. He's on our side. He's one of our guys. Because they use the symbols. And that's what's, again, when you were bringing up the handshakes and the putting the hand within the pocket, what Stalin was doing, you've picked up on a few of them, these ways that the Freemasons are communicating to others that's what we are, we're Freemasons.
Well, they say it's not a secret society, but they've got all these things that you've got to learn, like the handshakes and everything like that. So the ordinary person just ain't got a clue. So it is secret. They can't argue that fact. And it is a religion, because they've got everything what a church has. They've got altars. They've got prayers. They've got religious teachings in there. So this is a temple. They're all lodges, but they're all temples.
Yeah, they used to be quite open calling them temples, didn't they? And now they call them lodges. Yeah. Did that happen after the war? Is that when that happened?
No, I think that happened maybe after the First World War or something like that, a while ago. They just felt they didn't want to be seen as a fanatical religion. So lodge and everybody instead of temple.
Because it's all hidden, isn't it? I mean, you make a point later on in the script that there's no windows. You can't look in.
No, exactly.
It's cut off from the rest of the world, and they're trying to imitate Egyptian temples, and they're talking about Egyptian gods, and it's all very anti-Christian. I mean, one of the things in that Bishop Williamson interview that he gets across is how the church fought against Freemasonry.
He hammered Freemasonry all through that interview, right? So being a Catholic bishop, it's just I suppose in a way the Jews have got these goyim in these places working for them. And like I said, over the years, they couldn't have took down all these governments. We earned them, so they are traitors.
Well, that was another point he made, wasn't it? That was that the Jews needed the Freemasons because the Jews couldn't get into positions of influence because they were banned from having public office. So Freemasonry was a good way of getting people to advocate for the Jews, getting Gentiles to advocate for the Jews in public office. So because the Jews couldn't be put there themselves, they had Freemasonry, and they made sure that Freemasons were put in all those positions because they would be friendly to the Jews, advocate for them.
To say they're on the verge of taking over the world, they've had no actual army of their own. They've just gone into countries and seized that amount of power where they could control the finances, and then from then on, you can control pretty much everything. And so then they've cooked the army of each country to fight their wars for them, just like America's doing for Israel now. And it's worked, but it's worked for such a long time,
Well, they made a lot of money from the wars, didn't they? As we're talking about go on.
No, I was just going to say, I mean, the Brotherhood, made about 40 million, didn't he? The American drew at Versailles.
Well, they had to, Hitler banned them, didn't he? Well, war profiteering, it was a capital offence because these Jews had been making so much money out of it. And on both sides, in all these wars, the Jews were the advisors.
We solved that one, didn't we?
I forget his name. The Jew in America, Baruch. That was Baruch. That was it. Who Baruch. Made an absolute fortune.
They say they're advisors, but they were just taking the dummies along with them. The prime ministers and the presidents.
Well, it's interesting. You brought up the Jewish side now because there's the Jewish side with Freemasonry as well, and this fits in with the next
one. Has Trump brought some anti-Semitic laws out this week?
I don't know. What do you mean? I haven't heard. about.
I heard that some laws have been brought out, you know, actual laws to stop criticising the Jews. You just reminded me that, actually.
I haven't heard of it, if you want. Yeah, I haven't heard anything about that. Perhaps if anyone in the chat room knows about that, they can leave it in the chat if there's anything Donald Trump has done to make anti-Semitism illegal in America. Just put it in the chat. The next bit in your script here, it says the New World Order will be ruled by a messiah that is presented to the public, but he will be only a front man for the council of wise men behind the scenes who will administer a terrible justice upon the world, ensuring they can never be challenged or overturned ever. Now, I think this is pretty interesting because this idea that, you know, that there's going to be this antichrist coming, there's this super evil person right at the end of things, and is it going to be Obama, or is it going to be Macron, or is it George Bush? All of those were antichrists, I think. All of those were Jewish messiah figures. They were like junior messiahs. And, you know, we had Obama that was pushing for globalization, pushing for war in the Middle East. And now we've got Macron, and he's like the focal point for the supporters of globalization. He's even said that. He's the guy leading the anti-nationalist forces. And he sees, Salvini, Donald Trump, Orban, they're the nationalist forces that he wants to crush. And Macron is, you know, he's a figurehead for it. It seems to me.
He's the next banker as well, isn't he?
Yeah, but he's fulfilling that antichrist figure. Because he is antichrist, isn't he?
There's a buzz around Jerusalem, apparently. I don't know if you've ever seen an interview with Netanyahu when he was foreign minister, I think, when this old Jew came up to him and said, "How's things going?" And he said, "Very well." And he said, but then he pushed him on the Messiah. "We still haven't seen the Messiah. We must, you know," and he's nodding away, Netanyahu. That's an interview from a while back. There's a buzz now in Jerusalem. They're already talking about how could they take down the Rock of the Dome, because that sits on the ground of Solomon's Temple, which the Jews intend to build no matter what. And the guy they're all looking at is Kushner. Now, whether or not it's got something to do with his offices where he paid God knows how many millions for his 666 office, and he's gone into the realms of meetings, especially abroad for Trump, where he has no real experience, and he's got such a look of Damien off the movie. You've got to think, you know, what's going on? And he's Jewish.
He's played up to it as well, isn't he? Jewish. He's played up to it. He's played up to it as well, because he bought building number 666.
He paid all the odds for it and all, didn't he?
Yeah. So he has sort of played up to that. He could be playing some kind of figure that is the savior of the Jews, that is advocating for the Jews. But they have so much influence in America anyway. Normally it's the president of America that is the Jewish messiah figure, but the Jews consider themselves to be the messiah. The Jewish people is its own messiah, because instead of looking to God, they said, "Well, we're going to ignore God. You know, we're going to do what we want to do, and God listens to us. We don't do what he says. He listens to our rabbis." I mean, according to the Talmud,
good luck, boys.
Yeah, the rabbis have a vote, and God does what the rabbis tell him to do. And it's like they see themselves as God, so they see themselves as a messiah. Which is because they are, you know, anti-Christ, anti-Logos, they are anti everything that is normal and natural, and they are the forces of evil in the world. They are the sons of the devil, aren't they, according to Christ?
Without a doubt. I mean, again, going back to Bishop Williamson, I mean, it's okay making these inventions and television and you know, whatever, but they can't make an eye, can they?
No, it's far too complicated. I mean, that gets into the evolution question. You know, everything is far too complicated and interconnected for it to happen by chance. And the greatest things that man can do just aren't a patch on what God can do. But this idea of this guy that they will put forward, I mean, what you're also saying here is that they operate with puppets, which is what we know that they do. And most of the politicians are puppets for the people that are there in the background. This is part of the game of democracy, isn't it? Where they keep replacing the person on the throne, as it were, but nothing changes because the person on the throne has no power. And we've really seen this with Donald Trump, because he's not able to do any of the things that he said he was going to do once he became president, because he's discovered that the president doesn't actually have that much power. It's the deep state that control it all. And if he does try to do anything, then the forces of law step into play, and the judges come in, and the judges are now all politicized and are saying, well, no, you can't ban Muslims. That's against the Constitution, which is nonsense. But he's realized that, you know, these people that we vote for, they are only puppets, but they have to be puppets. Otherwise we wouldn't be able to vote for them, would we?
Yeah. Well, some of it was the other week as well. I was watching a live talk on No More News, the channel, and he was interviewing one of the lads off InfoWars. He managed to get him and nail him down. And during this half an hour of talking to him, at one point, you know, they weren't exactly arguing like, but the guy from InfoWars was saying, it's just conspiracy theories and all this kind of carry on. But then at one point he said, what do you want, communism? And then and they're exactly the situation. You've got a whole lot of Jews who want communism for the New World Order. And the other side of the coin is the Jews who don't want communism. These are the people like Trump, you know, who works for the Jews now. And so what I'm saying is there's no good and evil anymore. It's just two sets of Jews against each other. And whoever wins, the Jews win. That's the problem now.
Well, everything is revolving around them, isn't it? I mean, we're seeing that with Jeremy Corbyn, all these accusations of anti-Semitism, nothing about Labour's policies. It's all, does he love the Jews enough? Does he really love the Jews? He says he does, but then sometimes people say they don't, and he doesn't kick them out of the party. He can't love the Jews enough. And that's basically it, isn't it? That's what the story is about the Labour Party for the last year. Just concentrating on them. And this is why we have to step outside of that and say, well, you know, we know what is right and we know what is wrong. And the right and the left is, you know, it's a sideshow. It's a distraction to distract you from that.
Well, if there's a general out there listening who can, you know, take over America, we are secret army. I wish you'd hurry up, because otherwise we ain't going nowhere, only down that road.
Well, it's great that Donald Trump's got in and he kept Hillary Clinton out, and he says a lot of good things. He's funny to watch, but he's not going to, he's not going to solve our problems.
He's
nice. Yeah, I mean, he's put a pause on things a little bit, and things will get slightly better, but there's no way that he can fix things.
Handed over Jerusalem as the capital, which is important again to this temple being built. That's why the Jews all love him now.
Well, yeah, they quite clearly wanted him to do that. But then again, it's only the right-wing Jews, and there are a lot more left-wing Jews in Jewry than right-wing ones. All the right-wing ones have moved to Israel, haven't they? All the left-wing Jews are in our countries. They're the ones calling for immigration and more Islam and all the rest of it. And
one wants to attack Iran and one wants to attack Russia, don't they? Can't make them mind which one, you know, tweet first.
Well, this temple as well that they want to rebuild, it's quite bizarre that Christian Zionists go along with that, because the temple was destroyed by God, and that was proof of this prophecy. It would be destroyed. And the temple that was actually destroyed, it wasn't God's temple anyway. It was Herod's temple. He had rebuilt it. So it was actually the third temple that has stood there that God destroyed. And person that tried to rebuild it, you know, there was fireballs and people getting destroyed. It was during the apostate. And, you know, it's written that he tried to help the Jews because he thought if we, if I help the Jews to rebuild this, it will really annoy the Christians, and it will prove that the Christian God is false. So he paid a lot of money, and it didn't work. As I say, there was volcanic eruptions or fireballs from the sky, and lots of people got killed. There was poison gas. And, you know, it was seen as, again, it was proof that the Christian God is true, and that temple is not going to be rebuilt. So why would the Christian Zionists go along with this? It's like they're trying to accelerate things. They want to see the end of the world, maybe. And that's why they're going along with it. It's very bizarre to me that they support it.
They think if they do anything against Israel, they're going to get a hurricane or some kind of, you know, wicked revenge for if they, you know, block Israel in the UN or something like that. But all they have to do, really, is look in the Talmud, and it's clear as daylight that, you know, even the best of the goy must die. You know, again, Bishop Williamson is on a point about Freemasonry. That is the plan, believe it or not, right at the very end, because there's a guy in Russia who was when Stalin turned on Freemasonry, early 30s, didn't turn on all, he just turned on the non-Jewish ones. He was being tortured. This guy was being tortured. And he said to his torturer, look, I've got some information that Stalin might need. I'm sure he'd want it. So Stalin sent somebody to check the notes. And he actually said that the big secret of Freemasonry is they're going to all be wiped out.
Well, the Freemasons are as useful idiots.
Yeah, just like Yuri Brezhnev said.
Well, that wouldn't surprise me. But another thing with this temple, I mean, the Jews know that they're not Hebrews. They know that they're not the Israelites. The Talmud doesn't really talk about the temple. It talks about ways to break insult Christians, ways to seduce Christians, tempt them, ways to take over a country. I mean, it's a criminal handbook for a criminal gang, but it's not really talking about rebuilding the temple. I mean, the temple had sacrifices for sin. It had priests. It had all these things that the Jews just don't have now. I think maybe it's an excuse and a ruse because they know that they're the Esau Edom. It's even in their encyclopedia that they're descended from Esau Edom. And Esau Edom was his wives were Canaanites, so all his offspring were Canaanites. So they know that they are Canaanites, but they're sort of playing along with this that they want to rebuild their temple and encouraging the Freemasons with this, because the Freemasons have got a fascination with Solomon, but they know that Solomon isn't theirs. The Solomon of the Old Testament, he's nothing to do with the modern day Jews. It just seems to be, maybe it's just a way of them blaspheming all the more.
Well, most of them are even religious. I know Netanyahu isn't, sorry.
Well, a lot of them are atheist Jews. I mean, and you get the modern progressive rabbis that are lesbians, female lesbians that push for gay marriage and all sorts. You get a lot of these progressive Jews that they put on the BBC. Rabbi Laura, they call her. This horrible Jewess looks like a chicken.
She's that's why I'm such a dress.
So long as you're not wearing the women's underwear, well, you're like Ed Wood. Have you seen that documentary? What is it? Ed Wood, a Tim Burton film about the world's worst film director, and he used to dress up in women's clothes all the time. Quite a funny film, actually.
Yeah, I'll bet.
That's not you now, is it?
No. I'm only joking, folks.
Okay, well, let's move on with this. Moving on from this Messiah, this Antichrist, and this temple that they're claiming to be building, because I do think they will put forward a front man as a savior of the world. I mean, they did that with Obama. They put him forward as he's going to save everyone, and everyone voted for him, voted for change. Now they've got Macron. They're pushing him forward as the savior of the world, and I think we're just going to keep having these various saviors of the world. And of course they are antichrists because they push for everything that's the opposite of what's good and natural. But what it's all leading to is in this next bit that you've got. You say the world will become a series of six states of socialism with no countries and no borders. brought in like the EU in Europe and NAFTA in the US and through other treaties using trade that are generally unknown to us. And I think this will be like regions. I mean, they're already talking about regions in the EU instead of countries. Scotland is a region. Wales is a region. So they're already using language to try and get rid of this. Trump's torn up the NAFTA agreement. He's just got a new one. But these treaties, it isn't just the European Union. It's treaties like the climate change agreement. Or world trade agreements that they have. Anything that is supranational is globalist, and it's communism, basically. It's saying, you know, all these countries will be getting together and they'll be obeying one authority, and they'll use anything to do it.
About the climate change, for people who don't know the real reason out there, coming in by the back door, what they're saying is, they're making all this up about the climate change, and they're going to put high taxes on it, and we're going to have to pay for air and water and all the things that were given to us by rights and by God. And they're going to put tax on all this. The reason they're putting the tax on it is because there's only going to be one army, and that's going to be the UN, and really it's the army of Babylon, the army of Israel, really. And so there'll be no more wars because there'll be no more armies. And so all the weapons and everything else that they've been making so much money from will suddenly stop. And they have to think of other ways of raising money to keep them in the standard they're used to. And climate change is that simple. It's going to be one of those taxes.
Well, I think it's also another way of saying, well, you all have to obey this group here, and this group here is completely unelected. Bureaucrats, the people overseeing the climate change agreement. Exactly the same as the EU. And with the army, I mean, they're already saying that the European Union needs to have an army, and I can see them moving to this UN army. And basically, it's what they've done is they've tried to separate the army from the nation state. I mean, the army is there to defend the nation state. If it's defending something else, then it's just, it's a gang, isn't it? It's a criminal gang. It's not defending a people. It's there to attack. It's not there to defend. And we've already seen that our armies are no longer being used to defend our countries. They're being sent in to defend business interests, to force people to accept usury banking, basically. So they've already managed to separate this idea of the army being used to defend a country, the same as they separated the idea of consummating a marriage from marriage, so that they could then say, well, marriage is just the marriage act of having a ring, and if it's just the act of having a ring, then why can't two men do it? So they separate what it originally is, they change what it originally is gradually so that they can move to something that's entirely different from how it originally began. So we'll end up with an army and people just expecting there to be an army that defends the interests of the United Nations, of this organization that is supposed to represent all of our interests, which doesn't work. You can't have somebody else looking out for your interests. You have to be looking out for your own interests. Each country has to look out for its own interests. Nobody else is going to do that. Donald Trump is 100% right on that. China isn't going to be thinking, well, we've got to do what's best for America. Switzerland isn't going to be thinking we've got to do what's best for America. Only America is going to be looking out for America's interests. And that goes the same for every country. So if this idea of having the army to defend your nation's interests gets separated from that, people will eventually just accept the fact that the army does what the United Nations want it to do. Yeah. That's where it's heading.
And it is heading there pretty quick. Things are moving fast, really. They've speeded up over the last couple of years.
Well, the next bit you've got, you say they will control all people, all properties, all transactions, all communications, and all knowledge. And I think we're seeing this now, that, you know, this contactless credit cards that people have got, and they're trying to phase out cash by using this. They're trying to make it as easy as possible for people to use a credit card. There's two reasons for that. One is that it's continually generating money. It's continually generating credit. It's not debit. It's not using money that people have already earned. It's continually creating more money for them, and each bit of money as usury added to it. So it's continually creating usury. That's one reason for it. And the second is that means that they can control all cash flow, because they could just switch that card off. And if there's no cash in the world, because they're saying they want to phase out cash, if there's no cash in the world,
believe it or not, do you know what they want to use?
They can just shut it down. Shut down your card. And you can't buy anything.
Do you know what they want to use?
Bitcoin. Well, they're talking about blockchain technology. The banks want to use blockchain technology. But I'd say Bitcoin is it's a way around this, but Bitcoin is never going to be as easily usable as cash is.
Not at all, no.
You know, if they're to shut down your banking capabilities, you've still got cash. You can still go out and buy food and pay for things with cash if you haven't got a card.
If they can catch every transaction, that means they gain millions more in tax again, because you can't tip a milkman you've got to do it all through a bank.
Well, that's the thing with Bitcoin as well. I mean, Bitcoin is all traceable.
Correct.
You can trace, not necessarily traceable as to who it is that owns the X Bitcoin account, but what is traceable is where that Bitcoin goes. You know, every little bit of Bitcoin can be traced. It goes to that number, and it goes to that number, and it goes to that number. So it can all be traced like that, even if it can't be immediately traced as to what person it is. You can see where it's going. So using that technology, they would be able to see, where everything was and what was being spent where. And again, and they could shut that down. This is the thing. We're already seeing the start of this with people being deplatformed from financial providers like PayPal. PayPal, just this week, they shut down the Marching to Zion conference, the Baptists.
Our website's the same.
Have they shut down your website, Dennis? PayPal?
They've shut the website down, but they've shut down all the PayPal transactions. I think PayPal only Bitcoin. You can buy a DVD with.
So you can still buy your DVDs with Bitcoin, yeah?
Yes.
Good. Just let listeners know that. But with PayPal, that Baptist guy, I've forgotten his name, he did the Marching to Zion.
In film. In America. He's outspoken.
Yeah. You know who he is. You've had...
he did the Jewish documentary.
Dealings with him. Yeah, his conference has been shut down by PayPal. They've stopped taking any money for the conference. I mean, that's Baptists that they've deplatformed. They've deplatformed Return of Kings. That's this Iranian guy who doesn't have anything racial on there or anti-Jewish. He's just anti-feminist. So they've shut him down. They're broadening the scope basically of who they shut down financially, and they're using PayPal to do it. So, Bitcoin is online as well. So it could be done with Bitcoin. Whatever goes online on the internet, they can stop it because it's on the internet. Cash is separate to that. It's real life. It's held in your hands. I think we have to work very hard to ensure that, we continue to use cash. And they keep saying on the television, on the BBC News, all these tech wizards, we're looking forward to this cashless world, and isn't it wonderful we can use
capital cards. You just pay a bill in a couple of seconds, you'll have to go to the shop or something.
Yeah, they're really, really pushing hard for it. And I think it's something that we've really got to say, we want to use cash. I like to use cash for everything. I don't know where I am if I don't use cash. If I use cash, I know how much money I've got and how much I've got to spend. That's another side to it. It encourages people to spend more than they've actually got if it's all done on credit. But that's how they will control people, and they'll shut down dissent, and they're already doing it. They'll just withdraw the capability to do financial transactions. It's quite simple.
They're at the forefront of technology as well at the moment, believe it or not. I think they brought a virus out not long back, which caused havoc in all the computers. It was a type of virus that nobody's ever seen before, but it come from Israel. They were just testing the water.
Well, you've also got here that they'll control all properties. So how do you think they'll go about doing that?
Well, they'll ban private property, won't they?
Right. Right. Well, I can see it heading that way now, isn't it? It's heading that way now, isn't it? Places like in London, nobody can afford to buy a flat. It's all renting, isn't it?
That's right.
And I think the Conservative Party conference, Boris Johnson made a point about this and about how the Labour Party have got no interest in people owning their own houses. But I don't really think the Conservatives have either. They would be quite happy.
No, because just left wing there, not more than Labour.
Yeah, for it all to be owned and then just handed out to people and taken away from people as well. Again, because what they hand out, they can then take away. That's right.
Yeah, it's like a privilege, isn't it? But don't forget Brexit. What's the point of coming out of Brexit when the New World Order is coming in?
Well, I'm starting to think, maybe you know, Brexit isn't going to be that good because you're going to have the Austrian president as the president of the European Union. I think these Eurosceptic parties are going to win with a landslide in the next Euro vote. And you've got you're going to have a block of countries that are anti-immigration in the European Union. And in Britain, we've got Theresa May who thinks, oh, wonderful, we're doing Brexit. We can invite Africans over here and do trade deals with Africa.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, we're never going to stop she's done. With immigration, were it?
Yeah, she's just opened the country up to Negroes. She thinks that's the great thing about Brexit is we can do more trade deals with Africa.
Again, it's on the subject of the night, Bishop Williamson, when he said they plotted to cut our throats. And that, I can see that because once we are the minority, and if it kicks off all the civil war, if a civil war kicks off, they will cut it through.
Once there are enough non-whites, that is what they will do. They will just kill all the whites. I mean,
just like in South Africa.
The more non-whites there are, the more novel ways they find of killing us. So we just had a white girl just now that was killed by a kebab that was laced with peanuts in a takeaway. And how many white people have died from going to these takeaways? The doctors, how many white people have died under the surgeon's knife where it's a non-white doctor? 70% of doctors struck off for incompetence are non-white. So it's not just the violent criminals. It's in every aspect of life where we have interactions with non-whites. There is a chance that something negative is going to happen to you. And it's an increased chance because the interaction is happening with a non-white. That's just the way it goes.
I said the other day, I was talking to somebody the other day, and I said, when they can rape English girls over a period of 20, 30 years without hardly any comeback until now, they've been forced to, those girls are girls without an army to protect them. They had no army to protect them. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, well, they've got no police to protect them either, have they?
No, exactly. Exactly.
Got
that's why it was allowed to go on, because they don't care about white girls.
Because they're there to the police are there to look out for the interests of the non-whites and the Muslims. That's why they don't want white people joining the police anymore. They advertise for black and minority ethnics. That's who they want to join the police. It's the same with the BBC. It's the same with all these jobs now. They want black and minority ethnics only to apply. They want more and more.
The end of the game. Well, they took a while to turn, but you know, eventually they were always going to turn. And like I said, the case with Tommy Robinson as well, you can see just exactly what he's up against.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, the nationalists have always been right, and everything that the nationalists have said has come true, and yet people will still not want to become nationalists. They still, you know, they'll still say, oh, well, we can't do that because the far right do that. The far right say that. This is going to help the far right. We can't possibly admit that this is what's happened because that means admitting that the far right were correct. It's, and they'll still be saying it, you know, when these massacres come, when whites are outnumbered by non-whites and there's a huge bloodbath, they'll still be saying, well, we can't possibly put this in the news because the far right will have a field day with it. They'll be saying that right through to the end.
Yeah, there'll be silence on the news.
Right through to the end.
I haven't seen Tommy Robinson on news lately.
He was on Sky. He did an interview with Sky TV.
Yeah, when they splashed the tape up.
Yeah, they totally misquoted him. They made him say something that he wasn't actually saying because he was answering a completely different question. And he said he's going to sue them and 3,000 of his supporters complained to Ofcom. It was possibly the largest number of complaints they've ever had. Well, definitely this year, the largest number of complaints. Which is, well, it's good, really. It just shows you how much support that the guy's got. I mean, he has become a focal point for us.
They went all around the world as well. What they twisted into said. So, you know, he's a racist.
The amazing thing is, you got Owen Jones, who writes an opinion piece saying how Sky TV is dreadful for helping Tommy Robinson, for putting him on the TV, and yet
he walked out once, did he?
Yeah, and from Tommy Robinson's side of it, he's suing Sky because of the way they misrepresented him. Yet to Owen Jones, you know, he's so blinkered and blind, he thinks that was helping Tommy Robinson. At the same time, he's saying Tommy Robinson needs to be completely deplatformed and never allowed to speak because he's a bigot. And that's exactly what bigotry is refusing to allow somebody else to speak or listen to them. The left are so blind. But there's just one final bit that I wanted to look at here in this little bit that you're talking about here about the control. They will control all communications and all knowledge. And that's what we've seen recently with the shutting down of the Internet Archive account, the Radio Aryan Bootlegs Internet Archive account, because that had lots of rare audio on there. It had lots of stuff that's no longer available on YouTube. You know, it had the conversation of the last 4 years that's gone on in the alt-right with all the notable people. There was interviews with them, or there was speeches of them. Lots of stuff that was on there, and that's all been removed. So future researchers, when they look back and they read about something called the alt-right, and they want to hear what the alt-right had to say, and they go to the Internet Archive, they'll find nothing there. And they'll think, well, there wasn't any dissent. There really wasn't that many people that were involved in it. So it's been very deceitful to remove that.
I mean, look at my channel. Dennis Wise has no content on his channel when you view from the UK.
I think that's a different issue because that's entertainment. What the Internet Archive is supposed to be is a repository of knowledge. It's supposed to be like a library. It's like burning books. It's like getting rid of knowledge from a library by removing those audio clips.
Yeah. Sure.
YouTube is entertaining.
Can I just say that anybody in the UK, if you press playlist, videos come up. Not all of them, but a good few.
You can also find proxy sites. There's one that's much better than HookTube. I think it's called Proxy Site, Proxy something. I'll put it in the comment section of this article because there's a really good one. It's got 10 different proxy servers and you can watch just about anything on it. So I'll put that in there so people can still see your stuff. I mean, it's annoying for me. I mean, people have done interviews with me and people in Britain can't hear them. Don't know.
Yeah, well, there's a reason why they don't want to watch my videos as well.
They don't want people to know that there is this knowledge out there. They really are trying to...
Also, the opening at the start, you know, with the internet. Like, I was able to do the greatest story, you know, I got a good 18 episodes in before they banned it. I don't think that would happen today.
Yeah, you'd have real problems doing that today. I've also managed to... I've also re-archived or re-uploaded the original episodes we did when we were still at Radio Stormer, Dennis. So they're available again now. That, that's a record of all these things that went on. As I was looking through the titles of it, it was like the first time that YouTube banned the series. Yeah, sort of halfway in. The first time they banned Adolf Hitler. You know, we've got a discussion on that.
Well, I knew they would. I didn't know they would. I mean, I was quite prepared.
So you need to have a record of these things so that we know what's actually gone on. I mean, they're just trying to remove all evidence that there was any dissent.
They won't piss them on it.
Yeah.
They want my DVDs around to tell that story, will they?
Well, this is the next bit. You say they will rewrite history, and anyone speaking against their rule, once the government is set in stone, will quickly disappear. Again, this is happening already. People...
Of course it is. Sweden, Vikings... all destroyed, all the artifacts.
Well, I was saying, people that are questioning what happens in World War II, they're being disappeared. They're sent off to prison, aren't they?
Yes, that's right.
Monica Schaefer, she's still in prison. Jez Turner, for questioning the Shomrin, he's in prison. Joshua Bonehill is still in prison. for making a jokey meme about Auschwitz 4 years ago. They just make people disappear if they start questioning the narrative. And this is exactly what went on in communist Russia, isn't it?
I was just going to say the blueprint for taking over a nation, a Christian Western nation, is the Soviet Union, or Russia, then became the Soviet Union. That's the blueprint. And when the terror comes, which it will, I'm pretty sure because there'll be some resistance. When people finally realise what's happening, there will be resistance. But unfortunately, they'll be well in hand.
And this is why we say it's communism, isn't it? Because people say, well, there's no more communism. Yep. The Iron Curtain fell down, the communist regime, that's all gone. Yet we've got all these laws that are the same.
Yeah, well, that flag over Berlin wasn't a symbol as, just the flag put up by the Russians. That flag was telling you communism and World War II, because the guys who funded it were on the other side.
Well, it's symbolism again, isn't it?
Yes.
There's a symbolism of seeing that flag up there.
Saying, sickle, yeah.
This is who won the war.
He's beaten the swastika and the Talmud have beaten the Bible, whichever way you want to say it.
Yeah, a very iconic picture. That's what it was telling people. It was telling people what the next 50 years was going to be, who was going to be in power. And now you've got this the USSR that fell apart, but the influences of it and the ideology of it is obviously still alive in the West because it informs everything that they're doing today with the anti-free speech laws, Holocaust revisionism.
Just to start me talking, all the buzzwords, anti-Semitism, Holocaust and conspiracy theory, all this kind of thing, it's all good to stop you talking, because if you can't talk, you can't complain.
And the question of cultural Marxism and degeneracy.
And the breaking
down of morality that you talk about a little bit later. And we're getting to near the end here, Dennis. So what have you got still to come out on the video then? Have you got the Fatima one? Has that been released now?
That'll probably be released either over the weekend, early next week, I would think now. I think the maximum two. I think definitely will be two more parts because I've got the materials to go in there. Just put it all together. So, and it'd be a shame not to put it in what I have. So probably two more episodes, maybe. I don't know, maybe three, but I think two to be reasonable.
And this is the script to them that we're actually going through at the moment, isn't it?
This is the result, really, of communism winning. And the actions of Freemasonry and the deceit of the nations, of the leaders of the nations, because they all knew they had a meeting in 1999 or something like that with all the Muslim countries to say, we're going to let you into Europe, you're going to, have jobs, we're going to look after you, give you benefits. All this were all organised, but we were never told.
Yeah, they never let the populace know about it. Well, next week we're going to be looking at the Illuminati and the influence of Adam Weishaupt. And there's a lot of information in there that I wasn't quite aware of, how it fits in with communism. So that should be interesting. But we'll have a break for now until part two.
It's real, by the way, Illuminati. It is not a conspiracy theory. Just tell your viewers.
No, it's a reality. Adam Weishaupt and how he was caught. What was it, during a thunderstorm and the papers that all outlined the conspiracy?
It wasn't him, but it was one of his boys.
Yeah, they were all discovered. Yeah, that's not a conspiracy theory. Anyway, we'll get into that next week. So thank you very much for coming on today, Dennis. Thank you very much, listeners, for listening. Don't forget we do require donations to keep Radio Aryan going, and we will be back next week with more Truth Without Radio for you. And, of course, we do hope you have a great weekend ahead of you.
Yeah. to Radio Aryan.